move on to item four, which is our perchlorate cases. Mr. Briggs.
Thank you. Speaking of Eric Gobler, he is going to be providing an update on the Olin part of the perchlorate site write-up that we've provided for you. And we have provided a summary for all of our perchlorate sites, so either Eric or Christina Seeley will be available to answer questions after Mr. Gobler makes his presentation.
Thank you, Rod. Thank you, Roger. Hello? Is it on?
Yes. Good
morning, Chairman, members of the board. My name is Eric Gobler, and staff engineer here. Filling in for David Athey, who you've seen the last few meetings. He's on vacation this week. Well deserved, I might add. I do want to just bring you up to date. The rather lengthy staff report in the agenda, and there's a lot of things going on the Olin case. I want to give you a little bit of an update of things that have kind of occurred since the report was written. With respect to the on-site soil treatment that's completed, that was the ex-situ part. They removed about 1,000 cubic yards of perchlorate contaminated soil. As you recall, the concentration of perchlorate was upwards or in the area of 7,000 micrograms per kilogram. Whew. I hear myself back there. The successful cleanup resulted in concentrations of less than 20. The goal was 50, and the concentrations when the project ended was less than 20 micrograms per kilogram. So very successful process. The excavated soil has been put back into the hole, and when they did that, they actually put in 6-inch, at every 6-inch layer, they put in a fine layer of the CMA, the calcium magnesium acetate. So as they do the in-situ treatment, which will be on top of that in the other area, they'll get additional treatment occurring. With respect to the in-situ, there's an area of about 2.5 acres on site that will be treated. They've installed the tubing. They ripped the soil, installed the calcium magnesium acetate. They're installing the piping, and the actual treatment should begin within the next within the next couple weeks, hopefully by the end of the month. The pre-sampling shows that the soil in that area ranges between 11 and 1,100 micrograms per kilogram.
Eric, can I ask you?
Yes.
Are those micrograms per kilogram, is that the same as parts per billion?
Micrograms per kilogram, parts per million, yeah.
Okay, so it's the exact same number?
Yes.
Okay,
well,
thanks.
Yes, essentially, yeah.
Close enough for public health.
Right. Okay. Yeah, parts per billion is water, and micrograms per kilogram includes the mass of the contaminant. So anyway, the in-situ should begin in the next couple weeks, and it looks like the estimate is it's going to take 2 to 4 years to complete the on-site in-situ soil treatment. The groundwater, on-site groundwater treatment continues. I think there's enough information in the staff report that identifies the successes there. I do want to update you a little bit on the replacement water issues. Under the board's direction, Roger Briggs issued a cleanup and abatement order last July directing Olin to provide replacement water for wells that had been impacted with 4 parts per billion. Or greater perchlorate. Olin petitioned the state board for review of that. Their final order is in your agenda. The bottom line was that the state board said we need to rely on Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment, their public health goal of 6, and so basically the order changed our trigger level from 4 to 6 parts per billion. Olin continues to provide replacement water. In fact, we haven't had any response from them, from Olin, yet on that order asking us to review any of the any new information to reduce bottled water. Roger had mentioned that there was a letter, a page missing in the letter that was given to you. That had to do with replacement water. The second page of that letter that you didn't have basically directed or reminded Olin of their responsibility to provide a statistical analysis of the data before we would consider them reducing or stopping bottled water if they hadn't had four samples since March 19th when the order was adopted, March 19th of this year. So we haven't had a response from them, but we just wanted them to be sure that they remember that they're going to have to provide enough information to come before the board and the public if they want to make a case for reducing or eliminating bottled water. One other thing that that second page of the letter mentioned was that we had asked Olin to provide us a status report by July 15th on wells that they're providing treatment for wells that were greater than 10 micrograms or parts per million perchlorate. And they've installed four wells, but there are several other wells that have not yet been fitted with treatment systems, and so we're asking for a report on those remaining wells. And in addition to that, Olin has sent letters to 15 well owners that have 8 to 10 parts per million perchlorate, asking them for access agreements. They received four access agreements, so we anticipate within the next 4 to 6 weeks there will be at least four more treatment systems installed. There's some pictures in your agenda that identified the, show you kind of what those treatment systems look like. And the first two rounds of data that we received from those well treatment systems or water systems is the influent was ranged between 6 and 90 parts per billion, and non-detect, which was 2 or less parts per billion, was what was in the effluent. So that's a big step in the right direction for those people that have been impacted. With respect to the Yaugas Subbasin Monitoring Characterization Plan, Olin submitted its initial plan or work plan April 11th, and that's undergone a couple iterations of review and revision. The final draft we just received on Tuesday, a couple days ago, so that will be under review, and we hope to approve that. What they plan to do is install could someone turn the lights down over there, right, Jen? The current plan is to install deep monitoring piezometers. These are installed specifically for monitoring at these locations. The site is right up here at the top. This is Tennant Avenue. This area right here, there will be two deep monitoring wells installed there, and that's pretty close to the area where the four ion exchange systems have been installed on the water treatment or on the existing water wells. The green on this map is where perchlorate has been detected between 4 and 6 parts per billion. The yellow is where it's greater than 6 parts per billion. And then these wells are down the basin. Here's Gilroy. I believe this is Leavesley, and I think Highway 152 is just off the map here. So these nine well locations are spread throughout the basin. At those nine locations, they'll have one deep well, and that deep one will be between 400 and 450 feet in depth, and one multi-port well, and that will have 7 ports, and those ports will range in depth from about 50 to about 350 feet. And I have a little piece of the tubing. I don't know if all of you have seen what a multi-tubing well looks like, but this is the casing. This is the same type of a monitoring well that was installed in the four northeast monitoring wells. And if you look on there, there are some holes that are drilled into the tube in the port where they want to take the sample. And they put a screen over the sample. They put a sand pack around that area of the well, and then they can pump from 7 different ports, one out of the bottom and 6 out of this around the perimeter. So that that type of well installation is what these nine wells will have. It's also the same as the four wells that have been installed in the northeast flow area. The plan is that the construction of these nine wells will begin within the next couple weeks, and it will take about 3 months to complete the installation. And based on the information from Olin, they're looking at approximately $125,000 to $150,000 per well installation. So it's a fair expense, but something that's definitely needed to be done. With respect to the northeast flow area, that's the area where there's question about perchlorate that's existing, whether or not it came from the site. Three of the four wells that they were planning to install have been installed. One is being installed right now and should be done within 2 weeks. They are being developed, and sampling for perchlorate and water elevation should occur in the next 30 days, we believe, there. And then finally, with respect to the perchlorate community advisory committee or advisory group, our last meeting was June 30th. Olin's consultants came. They did a very nice Yagas Basin hydrogeologic presentation. I would say hydrogeology 101 for the Yagas Basin, but it was very informative for the local people. And in addition, the Santa Clara Valley Water District did a presentation on their responsibilities to manage water quality and quantity in the basin. And it was interesting to learn that the basin, about 41,000 acre-feet of water are pumped annually from the basin. 25 of that is agriculture, and only about 1,500 comes from domestic wells. But only 20,000 acre-feet are recharged naturally, so the Water District supplements the recharge with about 20,000 acre-feet per year. So I think, based on what they were saying, the basin is in equilibrium. We had two special guests, too. Craig O'Donnell from Assemblyman Laird's office came and spoke about proposed legislation, and Craig Weaver from Senator Pombo's office was there and spoke a little bit about federal things that are occurring. So it was very good, very good meeting. One thing, just in conclusion, I want to mention, we have been working extremely hard with Olin to get them to attend more public meetings, which they have been doing the last 3 months now, and to allow better communication with respect to technical review of reports. And they have, in addition to working with us, they've also allowed the Water District and their consultants and the City of Gilroy and their consultants to participate in the Yagas Basin, the review of the work plans for the Yagas Basin. So we're making steps in the right direction, and there's a lot of progress going on, and we're very pleased with what's happening there. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Do you know how many wells there are in that area or above the six parts total?
Not exactly. In working with the district and Olin, they believe there's approximately 150 wells that they may have to provide wellhead treatment on. So I'm assuming, and that would be at using the six parts per billion trigger level. So in that neighborhood.
How many of those are municipal type?
That's just the domestic wells.
Just the domestic ones.
Right. Okay. And I think there's four or five municipal wells that Olin has already put treatment systems on.
Okay. Thanks.
But Mr. none Daniel. Of those, I don't think any of the municipal wells are over six, but they just did it just to be safe.
Mr. Daniels.
The nine wells there are certainly going to give us information about the vertical extent, which has been pretty much missing until now.
Yes.
But what about their plans for the horizontal extent, particularly down basin area, the extent of the plume down there?
Their belief, I guess, using the 6 ppb level, is that the wells that they would put at the very end of the basin down here, or the lower ones that they put in, are going to show that the contamination has not gone beyond that area. So we'll see. There are some hits of perchlorate
right.
that are down in that area.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a question what the source is. And we are going to maintain the position that it's Olin until proven otherwise. So I guess this is the first step. If we find something different than what we see right now, there will probably be additional wells that go in, not just in the lower part of the basin, but maybe out on the edges as well.
I mean, definitely, it occurs to me that one well down there is not exactly a sentry line, and it seemed like you'd want to put a string of wells down there if you want to try and catch the plume going further south rather than just the one.
Yeah. Part of their work plan for the basin, that monitoring, is there are two wells. These are the nine wells that they're going to be installing. There is two wells right here that are the sentry wells for the city of Gilroy. Gilroy's wells are basically on this side over here, and so these two wells are supposed to be the early warning wells for the city of Gilroy. So west of the south end of the plume, I think we'll have some monitoring, but I think your point is down in this area.
Right. Because, in fact, there have been hits of perchlorate even south of Highway 152. I think there's one well down below 152 that's a hit.
Yeah, this is 152 right here.
Right.
And, yeah, I think there is one that has been about four parts per billion.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it would be certainly good to know, if that plume is continuing to move that way or if it's...
Yeah, that's a good point, and we're working... We're taking baby steps here. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Yes.
Dr. Hunter.
I'm just wondering, what is the distance from for the nine wells from the most northern to the most southern?
Okay, from the site at Tennant Avenue here to Highway 152 is approximately 10 miles.
Okay, thank
so,
you.
So, yeah, a significant plume.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. I think, I was just smiling because I think saying a significant plume is an understatement.
Isn't so, it significant?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, thank you, Eric. Ms. Hewitt, we have Don Villeneuve here. Hi, Don.
Thanks.
I'm sorry I was late.
That's okay.
I'd like to have an excuse, but I haven't.
Okay.